Because we don't know what death is, we are not necessarily afraid of it. We are afraid of the thought about death. So I can say that I'm not afraid of death. Or the correct way will be, I'm not afraid of the thought of death. Every time the thought of death comes to my mind, I'm not afraid of it. I'm fine with the idea. It can come to me now, it can come to me this evening, it can come to me 80 years later. I don't mind. And that's my mind. You can tell me, Hitesh, if someone comes in front of you with a gun and it's almost sure that they're gonna shoot you and kill you, wouldn't you be afraid? I don't know. Maybe I'll be. Maybe I'll cling to my dear life and say, oh my God, I really don't want to die. But how would I know until that moment comes? But I can think about that moment because you suggested that moment to me. And well, as I think about this moment, I'm fine with that as well. So again, you try to understand this subtle difference. I'm not saying that you are free of something that you have not experienced, that you have no idea how it works. But you have a thought about it. And you can bring clarity and peace in your thinking. And because I've thought about it in so many different ways, because I've taken so much interest in it in my life, that now when thoughts about death come to me, I'm not really bothered. Death is not terrible. Terrible is the fact that we don't think about it enough. Terrible is the fact that we are afraid of it, that we don't gather various perspectives available on death so we can understand it, we can make peace with it. We can realize that death and living are not necessarily separate. But all our lives, death is hidden from us, more so in the Western society than in the Eastern society. As long as I've lived in the West, I've noticed that death is hidden from the public eye. People die and they are taken to the cremation ground. Nobody finds out. Nobody sees the dead body. It's nicely wrapped. Even then, nobody sees it because it immediately gets into the car and out of the sight. In the East, still you can notice death all around. It's still visible. People still lament on the streets, in front of their houses, with the whole community. So death is more often of a usual phenomenon. While in the West, it has become an unusual thing. People who are working with, for example, doctors that I know, that are working with patients and see patients dying, are not open to talking about death, neither of their own or of anybody else. Do we think that if we don't talk about it, if we don't talk about the elephant in the room, then somehow the elephant will disappear? What are we assuming, that as we get older, things will by themselves start to make sense, or that somehow we will escape death? Or it will just come to us while we are sleeping and so we never have to deal with it. I don't know what you are thinking about it. But it has been one of my favorite topics and one of the most crucial factors in my life that has always propelled me in the direction where I like my life to go to. It has always taught me to not take this life for granted and always make the best of it, the most of it, to my capability. Recently, I was in Romania holding a retreat, and it wasn't planned, but death came up as a topic. We were talking about the reality of mind and the reality of presence. While when I was saying the reality of mind, I was saying that we are stuck into thinking about the past, worrying about the past, regretting about the past, what could have been better, what could have been different, and anticipating the future, how it could be, what if that happens, what if this happens. And the present, it becomes just like an hourglass where the sand is moving from the past to future. And it's like a really small chicken's neck. And on the other hand, the reality of presence is when the present starts to feel to the mind, starts to feel that it's expanding. And the past and the future, the thoughts of the past and future, they are not occupying your mind. You are remaining in the here and now. And then I was asking all the participants, how do they carry presence in their lives? How do they understand this idea? And one of the participants said she thinks about death quite often. She has done a lot of research, a lot of thinking about it, and thinking about death knowing that it is inevitable and it could come any time, it inspires her to live the best of her life. And then it became the topic of our talk, and we spent another day, several hours, discussing death. And so I'm inspired to talk about death with you guys as well here. I have been thinking about making a video on this topic for a while, and maybe this one can be slightly longer because, as you can see, I'm sitting at home quite relaxed, and I just feel like talking about this. So listen to this talk in several pieces, or when you go for a walk, when you're just chilling on your sofa, put the headphones and listen to this. So let's continue. First of all, there are various perspectives. I don't really mind if you believe in a spiritual perspective or in a much more rational perspective. The end result, the end goal, if that is achieved, then all is well if the end is well. It doesn't matter which method you take, but if you can let go of the fear of death and hence allow yourself to live fully in the present moment, then that's job well done. It doesn't matter which route you take. So I'm going to offer you perspectives from different routes and see what appeals to you. None of us really know what death is. So it is actually a fear of the unknown. We don't know if the soul from the body will be released and will be stuck somewhere in the unknown, roaming around freely, turning into a ghost, into a soul without body. And there are all sort of theories available for it, all sort of religious doctrines available for us to make sense of what happens. But basically, it is a fear of unknown. We don't know what death is. And if you think about it, you will also realize that it is not only that we don't know what death is, it is not necessarily death that we are afraid of. It is the thought of death that scares us, not death itself, because we don't know what it is. It is the thought. And I want to drive this point home, so be patient a little bit. As you can see, in many things in life, when we are in a situation to deal with something, something in us awakens and deals with the situation. And it happens every single time. If something has to be dealt right here, right now, we always have the courage, the strength, the skills, in however messy way or refined way, to deal with it. In those moments when your hand is burning on fire, in those moments it happens that you immediately take the hand away. You don't think about it, you don't contemplate on it, you don't try to gather perspectives. You act immediately. Your body is built for self-preservation. So in every situation when something has to be done at once, immediately, we just do it. But the moment leading to that moment, and moments after that moment has passed, the thoughts come to us. And in these thoughts, we fear. I'll give you an example. When I was very young, in my 20s, I wasn't really smart. And there were some occasions when I was drinking and driving. I'm not proud of it at all. And there were next mornings when I would wake up and realize, oh my God, what could have happened last night? How horribly was I driving? And how shameful of me to do it this way. And all the fear will come up afterwards. So on and so forth. There are several examples in your life where you might have noticed that you dealt with what needed to be dealt with, but then you were so afraid thinking about it. All reality is built on thought structures, structures of thought. Everything is a structure of thought. Whatever will happen tomorrow and whatever has happened yesterday, it lives only in the memory and imagination, in the lane of memory and fancy, imagination, thinking, anticipating. This has no reality except in the mind. It has no reality except in the thinking mind. While the reality of the now is much more physical, the whole body is a part of it, the whole sensory experience is a part of it, while when we're thinking about something, the only reality is we're thinking about it. We can't smell it, we can't touch it, we can't taste it, we can't see it, we can only think about it, imagine it. So in a way, it is a very, it's a fragmented reality, because even this reality is not really real, but let's not talk about that right now. Let's just realize that it is the fear of thoughts. It is the structures we have built on our thoughts, such as ideas, concepts, theories, doctrines, commandments, rules, all of that, principles, philosophies. They're all built on thought. And we suffer in our imagination. We suffer in our thoughts. We worry in our thoughts. Because when you are in the now and here, there is no place for the mind to kick in. There is no place for the mind to tell you to brood over a certain topic, to brood over this thing and to think and brainstorm about it, and to allow all your fears, all your conditionings of the past, all your previous experiences to come in and to guide your thinking in the moment. I wish that I won't be scared, that I won't resist it, but I can't say, I can't know. But what I can say is that if the thought comes to me, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the thought of death. Yeah. Are you fine with the thought of death? Then there is thought of death, and then there is thought of a miserable death. The thought of a death that is lingering, maybe a chronic disease, something really nasty happens, and you're not really dying, you're not really living either, and you're just dragging for years or months to death. How do you make peace with that? Yeah. I have something to say about that as well, but maybe I'll touch upon it later or some other time. Let's look at death from a few perspectives first. One perspective is that we don't know what death is. Sleep is a simulated experience of death. Every night we experience a sort of death, only that we wake up in the morning. But we don't experience sleeping in the way that we experience life in general. The way we experience all our waking hours and also the dreaming hours, we don't experience deep sleep in the same way. In fact, every single night when we go to sleep, we know the moment, even if you're very focused and concentrated, you will know a moment right before falling asleep, but you will not know the moment of falling asleep, and you will not experience the moment of falling asleep. You have never experienced sleeping in that way. You've always experienced a moment before and a moment after you woke up. And in sleep, you felt, in fact, very peaceful. In fact, all the rejuvenation and recharge of you happened. And so you came to start liking your sleep. The older you get, the more perhaps you prefer having a good night's sleep rather than anything else. So if sleep is equated with death, perhaps death is a sweeter thing than not so. The only thing is that you wake up in the morning, but every time you sleep, you don't know if you're going to wake up. Now, this line of thought is not ended yet. The third part of this is the same with birth. You don't remember being born. You don't have any memory of when you were born. Most people don't have it. Very rarely someone might have it. I've never heard of these things. I've never met such a person directly. You don't know when you were born. Not necessarily that when you came out of your mother's womb or when your heart started beating, but what would you classify as the moment that you were born? What will be that moment that you were born? Will it be when your parents conceived you in their minds, or when they conceived you in the act of intercourse, or when your heart was beating, or when you came out and your lungs were working? Which is the moment when you could say, now the baby is born? Now, for the sake of practicality, we have a birth certificate that tells us the date and time of our birth, and we live by that, right? But experientially speaking, look at your own experience. You don't know what would you call a moment of being born. So no experience of being born, no experience of sleeping, and no experience of death. So what is this? What is this phenomenon that is so taboo and we are so afraid of talking about it? But even with slight inquiry, we find that it might not be a thing The thing that we are afraid of does not exist. And what could it be? Link it with one of the previous videos when I said that you are a limitless awareness. You are never born, you will never die. You just are, you exist, you are existence. And the body appears in existence, the body disappears in existence. Existence remains. And now if you see yourself as that, then where is death? Death is of the element. Death is of the arrangements. Arrangements were put together, arrangements were taken away through this material form of the body. But where is you who dies? You were never born. You did not experience being born. You don't even know, even with your thinking mind, which moment would you call being born. Then you don't know the sleep experience. You will also not know the death experience. You will be awake and aware a moment before your death. And then death will happen just like sleep, and you will not notice it. You will not realize it. So you're not really afraid of death again. You're afraid of a moment before death. You might be afraid of all your thought structures falling apart. You might be very afraid of all the imaginations about death. You might be afraid of all the attachments, all the things that you have accumulated in this worldly life, the things of the matter that is also not really there. There's no matter here. This feeling of touching this glass is just a sensation. If you've never opened your eyes, you've never seen it, it's just a sensation. You don't know what you're touching. What you call hard or soft is just a sensation. It's just a taught understanding of what hard could mean, soft could mean, pliable could mean, but it's a sensation. What is it that I'm sensing that I can't tell? It looks like a glass and a door and a tree or whatever, but what is it really behind it? We don't know what we are sensing, but we are sensing it. If there was another sense in me or 10 more senses in me, reality would correspond to those senses and I will be able to see reality in that way. So again, okay, I'm digressing too much. But all this is worth thinking about, because all this feeds to your understanding of life and death. So in a nutshell, what I'm saying is that death is an idea taught to us, and we believe in it. And because we identify with this material body, this material body's death, we identify as my death. Or if your father dies, his death. But it's just the body. Like, you know, the t-shirt will get old and I will throw it away and wear a new one. In the same way, the body gets old, because everything that lives in time and space comes with an expiry period. So when the expiry period comes, it goes away and the soul takes a new body, or does not take a new body, does not matter to you. Even if it matters to you, doesn't matter right now for this conversation. So that is one, that view. Another view is a very scientific, very materialistic view of death. Let's say you are this body. Let's say you are, that's who you are, and you do die. That's it. One day you won't be able to do anything and you will be just dropping dead and not moving at all. And you don't want that. Now think about it. I will, of course, lead this thought back to the first thought, because if you think deeply about it, you might get in the same place where I'm getting. Is that you know that everybody dies. You know that everybody that you've ever heard of, thought of, they die. Billions of humans and other creatures have come and gone. There's not one person who survives death. There's not one person who survives death. Yet, why couldn't we just accept the idea that we die? Why can't we just accept that it's okay? Everybody dies and I will also die. If you're so smart, if you're so rational, and if your reasoning ability is so good, why can't we just realize that, yeah, that's the nature, that's the natural flow of things. There's no point. I mean, if I'm smart enough, intellectual enough, I should be able to get this much very clearly, that I need to make peace with it. So what? I'm gonna go. Just like, in fact, I come with an expiry period is what makes everything in life interesting. If everything had infinity, then I would make this video tomorrow or 200 years later, who cares? But because I know that there is a limited period of time, I want to do all of the things that I want to do now. everybody I love, or every place I like to visit, or everything that I want to think about. I want to do it now because this comes with an expiry period. So this human experience will end. So isn't death really helping us live? Isn't death really a part of life? And also in every moment, life and death is happening continuously, continuously. It is not possible to live without death. Okay. I'm just speaking on top of my head. So if you're still here, we're just talking like friends. And yeah, there is not really thought structure in my head. But I will link this with the first thought, as I told you that I will. The link is this. If there must be some, I think I spoke about this in the last video already, or one of the last videos. If this is the fact that everybody dies, then why don't we accept it? And the reason that we don't accept it is because we intuitively know that there is no death, that we're not gonna die. And that's why we don't accept it. So, whichever way you try to catch your ear, you will realize that it is perhaps a lack of courage to really look at death and try to understand what it is making us flee from it and be afraid of it. Not necessarily death in itself. Death in itself can be invigorating. It can be a means to live life fully. In fact, I say it again and again, is that when you let go of the fear of dying, when you let go of the fear of death, not only of your death, but of anybody's death, when you can understand enough, deeply enough, be free enough to let it happen, is when you truly start living. Because then life becomes a playground of expression. You're just expressing yourself here. And lastly, so as not to make this video too long, and you can give me feedback, you can touch upon the topics that I couldn't touch upon already because it is becoming one of my longest videos already. Lastly, I would only say that it is also a Buddhist practice where you are keeping death in front of you all the time. You are contemplating on impermanence of all things. Everything is coming and going and changing and vibrating. Nothing stays the same forever. And death will come. You keep this in your mind all the time. That's a way of living according to Buddhism. And there's a mention of this in many books, but one of this is the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. The author is Sogyal Rinpoche. So you can see, if there is something that makes you uncomfortable, the only way to make peace with it is to look at it. There is anything that you do, instead of looking at this thing, you do anything else. You go to ayahuasca ceremonies, you go to backpack throughout the world, and whatever. I strongly think it's all a form of escape. What you need to do is to come back. Look at it and don't worry about it. Even if you don't look at it and do anything else, the life will always bring this in front of you wherever you go. Wherever you go, it will say, no, look at this. Deal with this first. Deal with this first. So, yeah, these are my random thoughts on death today. And let's see where this conversation takes us. Take good care of yourselves and don't be afraid of death. Think about it and don't be afraid of anything else. Look fear into the eye and chase it. You will have a fun ride with it. I promise you. Take good care of yourselves.